Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of the Crick Picks podcast on Combox TV, where the game lives on. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is my colleague Saurabh Somani. You can find him at Saurabh_Somani42 on Twitter. And then we've got Jared Kimber as well, who you can find absolutely everywhere. What is your handle, Saurabh? Because I can never remember it.
It's just Saurabh_42.
Saurabh.
Yeah, I don't think it's that hard to remember. I don't know why you've made it into this thing.
I have made it into this thing. I don't know why my brain
is 42 because 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything in The Hitchhikers.
Is there something about your school that just teaches everyone that? Because Arya went to your school as well, and he's also obsessed with it.
I mean, I think it's a minority. Me and Arya might be the only two members.
Good. Well, otherwise, the school would have to be shut down.
Everyone I meet has gone to this school, by the way. Like, it's a very popular school, apparently. But Saurabh_42 is where you can find him on Twitter. And if you are new to Crick Picks, what we do on this show is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition. And what that basically means is that the pick order goes 1-2-3, 3-2-1. It's a very important Crick Picks, this one. We are going to be drafting the best ever number three batters in Test cricket. No pressure. Saurabh, you have the easiest Crick Picks pick of all time. Easiest first pick. So take it away.
I think Jasprit Bumrah would have been equal to some of the easiest picks, but obviously, Don Bradman.
Yeah. No comparison.
Yeah.
And
he actually averages more than 100 at three.
Oh, wow. I did not know
that's
that.
That's what I was looking at. It's 40 test matches, 56 innings for the Don at number three, 5,078 runs and an average of 103.63 with the bat, 20 tons and 10 50s. Incredible.
Because most of the times when he wasn't batting at three was because it was a wet wicket, right? Which he wasn't particularly good at. So that would have brought his average down. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that he made 20 hundreds and only 10 50s.
Yeah.
As soon as Behram told me first pick, I didn't even think. I didn't even look at the stats or anything. I just knew I'm going to pick Bradman.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was just going by the order of the previous Crick Picks. I didn't actually randomly generate this pick order. But it was a pretty straightforward job for you, Saurabh. Lucky for you, Estelle has never gotten this kind of luck before in her life. When she gets first pick, it's always terribly hard. So she'll definitely be envious. But yes, the Don had to go number one. Jared, I think the number two pick is actually the tricky one over here because you need to pick the next best number three of all time in Test.
Yeah. Do you know, one thing I realized in the 12 seconds before this podcast started that I looked at this was actually, like, we say that the best bats at number three, and you look at this list and you're like, that doesn't stand up, right? It doesn't stand up at all. And it's never stood up in history. Some of that is probably old-fashioned England moving guys around. So maybe they would have had more of their best bats at number three more often, if that had been the case. But yeah, it is confusing. I don't think there's a right answer next. I'm just having a look at the list to make sure I'm not missing anyone. I'll go Viv Richards as my second greatest number three.
All right. So King Viv is in. What are his numbers? I'm just trying to find him on this list that I sent you guys.
I wanted to...
He averages 61.
Yes.
With a strike rate of, let's say, 75-ish, 80. I can't remember what his strike rate was.
Yeah. 61.54 is the batting average for Viv at number three.
So Viv has...
59 innings, 3,508 runs. So the sample size is a bit low, but I mean, it's Viv we're talking about.
Now,
so
how do
no
we...
issues.
Is, I mean, of course, Viv is part of this list, but for someone else who... might have good stats at number three, but has batted more at, say, number four. Does he qualify? It's a little late to ask this question, maybe, but yeah.
No, I think you could do that. I mean, there are other people on this list that I think are quite interesting. If you look at just by average, you actually come down a fair way before you come to a person who's played more than 45 games at number three, which goes back to my point before of this idea of the best bat always bats at number three is not followed by most cricket cultures ever. And that's why this list is a little bit. And then you've got just general things of players moving around in batting orders, right? Which also happens.
Yeah.
But I think that was probably Vivity's peak was when he was at number three. They had other options at number three as well, so they didn't even need to always use him there. But he impacted the game exactly the way you want a number three to, which is a little bit counter-attacking, although in his case a lot counter-attacking. And he sets the tone of what the game is, right? And that's kind of what, especially what Australian and West Indian culture thought of as the number three position. Whereas obviously there are other countries who see it as a backup opener, but specifically in that Australia in a West Indian thing of, no, your job is to go out there and set the game. And I don't know if other than Bradman, anyone did that better than Viv.
All right, then. A really, really strong start. Two legends of the game, Don Bradman, Viv Richards, gone in the first two picks. Now it's time for me to pick back-to-back test number threes. This could go in any direction, obviously, but I'm going to employ Jared's tactic of weighing average a bit higher. And so my first pick for the day will be Brian Charles Lara, the first man in the history of the sport to score 400. And Lara's record is quite similar to Viv's. He's played in 66 test innings as a number three test batter and 3,749 runs. He did score his 400 not out at number three, and he's averaging 60.46 with the bat. Surprisingly, he has only scored 900s though as a number three. That I would have expected to be more.
His 375 also came at number three.
Oh, there you have it. So maybe those two innings are really inflating his average.
Yeah. 775 for one dismissal. At number three.
How do you feel about the fact that he, in his prime, moved away from three, though?
It does
seem
a bit unsettling.
He moved to four, so I'm okay with it. If he had moved to five, I would have had a problem.
Four's just the soft man's part.
Please listen, Sachin Tendulkar, Jacques Kallis fans, four is the soft man's five, says Jared Kimber.
Yeah, but I mean, that's... I think there's a difference between Viv, who starts his career down the order because they have other options, right? Mm. Goes up to number three, dominates at number three for a long period of time, gets old and moves to number four as they start to bring in other, I mean, I don't think you'll make this list, but there's another guy on this list who is also a fantastic number three who replaces Viv, right? And so you know, from that perspective, what you actually have is that's a perfectly normal arc for a player of his time, right? Start lower in the order, move up to the proper position, and then move back down as you get older. Lara, in his prime, kind of walks away from number three because he realizes number four is easier, and Kallis did the same thing. Sachin doesn't really do that, right? Like, Sachin is just batting at number four. So that's my only question is, like, are we, you know, a guy who walked away from it? Like, there's a difference between that and the sort of Ponting Williamsons, right, who, like, you know, stand number three basically for as long as they can hold a bat. You know, Ponting eventually moves down, but it's very, very late.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, there will be loopholes over here and there will be some interesting picks. But Lara, he had his best days at number three and he is Lara at the end of the day. So I don't have many issues with that pick. However, I'm not going to go for just average for my second pick. And I think I have to consider volume as well. And so the only obvious answer over here is Ricky Ponting. Punter spent the vast majority of his career batting at number three for Australia. An incredible 113 test matches and 196 innings at number three. 9,904 runs and a batting average of 56.27 with 32 hundreds. He is quite a vocal advocate for best batters to be batting at number three as well. He was that guy. He was not happy with Michael Clark when he never made that move. And he also saved Steve Waugh from a fair few blemishes, I would assume.
Yeah. It's interesting because that's not the name I thought you were going to come up with.
Really? Oh, I mean, of course, there's some favorites in there.
I mean, I thought Biram would go. I thought he would pick Punter before Lara, actually. But
I know who Jared thinks I would have picked, but it hasn't gone that
well,
way.
Well, you say volume. I mean, I'll just take my next pick now.
Yeah.
The next pick is Kumar Sangakkara, who has more volume at a higher average than Ricky Ponting.
Yes.
And is probably, you know. Probably stayed at number three longer as well. Like, as in, I would assume a higher percentage of his innings are played at number three. Like, it's weird to me that you would go Ponting ahead of him. I think that for a lot of us, especially for us who didn't see much of Viv Richards, there is an element of Ponting is our number three. Like, he's kind of what we understand as a number three in that era. But I'm not sure. Well, I think Kumar Sangakkara had a better career than Ricky Ponting. And certainly think he had a better career at number three.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's what it kind of came down to for me. I was thinking, who's the best?
You don't
batter?
Think Kumar had a better career than Ponting?
I mean, there's not a lot that separates them.
Yeah. Well, there's not, except for the fact that Kumar averages more.
Yeah. I mean,
what are
their
match factors, Jared, at three?
Yeah, we'll have to.
Oh, at three, I don't have the match factors. That would be interesting. I think, yeah, I'm happy with Kumar. I didn't think he'd still be on the board at this point. So,
more than
happy to pick him up.
If I'm being honest, maybe my brain got pigeonholed in the West Indies-Australia corridor because there had been some talk over there. But look, I've picked Kumar in a fair few of these quick picks, so this is probably a slip on my part.
that's another reason why I was shocked. I was expecting to pick Ponting because I thought you'd take Kumar first.
I mean, Ponting and Sangha, actually. Because Sangha, because of your well-known love for Sangha, and Ponting, I just thought with the...
Yeah, my well-known love for Sangha is really failing me these days because this is the second time I've let him go. anyway, 125 test matches and 207 innings at number three. The most runs ever by a test number three, by the way, 11,679. A high score of 319 and a batting average of 60.82 with 37 hundreds next to his name. Yeah, maybe five is a bit too low on second thought. But Saurabh, it's back to you now for back-to-back picks.
The first pick is easy, Rahul Dravid. I think he's the most obvious name left on the list of number threes who haven't been picked so far. I'd have probably picked him ahead of Lara, not because of Jared's reason of him moving to number four, which I had not thought about, but just because of volume. He has batted at three a lot more than Lara. And
I think he's batted at three the most in terms of innings and matches.
Wow. And he has faced the most number of balls in test cricket history.
Yes.
So that would add up.
Yeah, and obviously his peak and Ponting's peak were pretty much at the same time, and both were the best batters in the world at that time, even though Sachin Tendulkar was there. So, so Dravid.
I mean, look, if you look at his numbers, he has in fact batted the most at that position. 136 test matches, 219 innings. He's got 20 not outs as well at number three. That's quite impressive. And actually, so does Ponting. But 10,524 runs at number three with a batting average of 52.88 and 28 hundreds. The conversion rate isn't solid, but we don't care about that. 28 hundreds, 50 half centuries. Rahul Dravid had to be on this list and he's gone sixth pick, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Saurabh. Yeah, I'll play slightly safe for this next pick also because I'm a little unsure about the others. So I'll go Kane Williamson, who also was a quintessential number three. Obviously, it has been discussed a fair bit here and there, in maybe not in popular discourse, but that there are certain holes in his record where he has not performed against the best teams as well as he has against the others. But I also think he hasn't got that much of a run against the best teams. The other argument, of course, is that if he was in a form funk, then it would drag his average down a lot if he has a five test series against an India or an Australia. He has not been able to capitalize on the good form either. Like New Zealand generally, I don't know when they last played more than three tests in a series. So,
yeah, that's a good question. I mean, right now, just now, three tests. But yeah, more than three tests is a very good question. Look, sure, Kane might have struggled a bit versus the better sides or the more powerful teams. But 100 test matches at three, 174 innings, 8,866 runs at a batting average of 56.83, which is more than Ponting. 3100s and 3550s. And he was the last of the great number three batters because right now, if you'd get a number three batter with a 35 batting average, you'd probably take him in your team.
India picked a number three with a 39 first class average. So if you get a 35 test average,
Long gone are those days where your best batter was supposed to bat a three, but Kane was the last of that breed. And
I think that's why he gets a boost for me. Also because... not only was he the last guy of that era, like you're talking about Raymond Reefer and Vian Mulder and Jacob Bethel, right? Like he's literally, people are giving up the number three spot and he continued to make runs when it was really, really hard. So I just think he absolutely deserves that.
You forgot Cam Threin in that list. He also featured for
a bit. Cam Green was averaging about 40 at one stage of Test cricket. Some of the other guys, you know, you've got a kid in Bethel who was an all-rounder who's batting at seven in first-class cricket. You've got Weon Mulder who's an all-rounder. And you've got Raymond Reefer, who I don't even think is an all-rounder.
Yeah. And then there's Washington Sundar as well, of course. He batted at three quite recently. We shall be taking a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Behram, Jared and Saurabh. And go nowhere. We will be back in a very, very short while.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Jared Bayram and Saurabh, and we are currently drafting the best ever number three batters in Test history. And it's back to Jared, I believe, for his pick. Is it?
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go with Wally Hammond.
Okay.
At number three. And one of the reasons I'm going to go Wally Hammond is not only is he a top 15, top 20 batter of all time, he actually doesn't bat at number three as much as he should. And so he dominates world cricket for, a couple of years, batting it mostly at number three. And then they just stop batting him there. And I think he averages a very healthy 50 at number four, but he averages 75 at batting at number three. Like, this is a guy who I think was more suited to that position than he was at number four. And they just didn't bat him there. Like, and you could put in a bunch of different players here. Like, Ted Dexter is another one. Ken Barrington is another one. But I think in Barrington's case, he only plays 27 matches at number three. Hammond plays 37. Like, there was enough evidence for them to go, do you know what? He's probably better at this position. And yet no one seems to have ever had that conversation at all. And he just moves down the order, right? And he, maybe some of this is because he had syphilis and he needed to bat further down the order a little bit later on in his career. I don't know. I don't know if we have a syphilis ranking. We need to talk to Varun for that. But, I think Wally Hammond's one of the greatest players of all time. There are issues. He wasn't great against short, fast bowling. A lot of people will say that, a lot of his record is biased on him smashing New Zealand. Even when you take it out, he still has a ridiculously high record. He's clearly one of the greatest batters of all time and should have been used at number three a lot more. So I'm using him as a sort of a proxy for Barrington and Dexter and Edrich maybe as well, because there was a bunch of them where England was just like, England didn't believe in batting orders at all, but not in a good way, as we've talked about previously. It's not like they were using it tactically. It's just from series to series or game to game, people would turn up and just be batting in different positions. And it's like, yeah, we're all for fluidity of the batting order. We're not for just making it random for shits and giggles.
Yeah. I mean, look, I kind of missed that batting average of 74.78 in this list because it does kind of stick out as a sore thumb. Look, 52 innings at number three with 3,440 runs next to his name. I know there's an unbeaten 336 in there versus New Zealand, I reckon, but 1,400s and 450s. So insane conversion rate. And then the second highest batting average, at least in this list that I can see after the Don. So Wally Hammond is a very, very strong claim. And now it's back to Saurabh. And he was quite fascinated by the phrase Camthreen. You can start from there, Saurabh, before you go for your back-to-back picks.
Tell me who we have picked so far.
Is it Bayram? Isn't it yours?
Oh,
it's your. Yeah, I thought that. How long was I was out going. For that? It went back to Bayram. He picked two, then Jared picked another.
That was just me running on ridiculously low sleep because of my infant child. But that's fine. Yes. We're not complaining. We're very grateful. Okay, you're sure you don't want to talk anything or say anything about Camthreen?
We've got nothing to say. We just need your picks.
No way for me to stall this any further. You'd never heard that term before, Saurabh. Anyway, okay, I've made it. I made my pick. And I will go for Yunus Khan as my third pick. It is quite a solid record. 50 test matches, 83 innings at number three. 4,055 runs at a batting average of 51.32. He scored his top score of 313 at number three as well. And 1,300s and 1,250s next to his name. The only reason really that Yunus drops to four is because once he becomes a bit more senior and Azhar Ali comes into the fold, Yunus takes takes on the mantle of batting at number four. Otherwise, before that, he was just entirely a number three and a very successful one at that as well. And arguably Pakistan's greatest ever test batter. So surely he had to feature in this list.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I wasn't going to pick him because I kind of wanted you to pick him. Not because I didn't think he should be in it, but also because he's not. Of all the people that we've mentioned so far, he's the only one I don't think presents as a number three. right? Like even Hammond was thought to be a number three and then moved on. Whereas Eunice, really, if you were to ask someone where Eunice batted, I don't think number three would be in the, like, I don't think the average person would even remember he batted at number three.
Yeah.
And so that was my own, and so I'm glad that you talked about it. But yeah, I wasn't sure where to go with it. But it's a fantastic record, right? Like he really did dominate for a period of time in that position. I don't think anyone can argue that. But if this is a list of quintessential number threes, I think he's a little bit less an automatic pick.
Yeah, I think Eunice maybe gets more recognition in the latter half of his career, and that's where he is transformed into a number four, or just because of happenstance that, you know, Pakistan lose their other middle order batters or number four batters in Inzi and Yusuf, and so then Eunice automatically comes down at four and Azhar is the new number three. But it's still 40% of his career runs, Jared, so it's not like a low sample size.
Yeah. It's, as I said, it's more about just that he's not thought of that way. That's why I wasn't sure where to go, but I'm glad you picked him.
Now I'm really confused. I also wasn't quite sure where to go with Eunice, if he should be my third or fourth pick. But there are two guys who are really confusing me at this point. One of whom I have watched the entire career of, and the other one I only know off through, you know, cricket lore. And of course, he's a legend in his own right. I'll go with the more obvious one that everyone will know about. And then Jared, you can pick the other guy eventually. I'll go with the mighty Hash, Hashim Amla, as my fourth pick. And it's 107 test matches with 174 innings at number three. 7,993 runs with the highest score of 311 not out. He averages a smidgen under 50 at number three, 49.95, but 25 tons next to his name with 37 50s. And I think had he just retired a bit early, Hashim Amla would have featured on a lot more lists. It's just that the average kind of nosedives towards the end of his career. But like for a minute in between over there, he was infallible, right? Like he was the guy who you needed to get out. And England will have very fond memories or not so fond memories of Hashim Amla smashing them. I reckon that was 2012. He retired Andrew Strauss, amongst other things. But yes, Hashim Amla is my pick.
Yeah, I was at that test. And I think, again, compared to someone like Eunice, I think he definitely is like a quintessential number three. I think he's what a lot of sort of more modern fans, him and Williamson, are probably the two that they think of automatically when they're thinking about someone in that position. Again, probably in some ways more like Williamson, almost backup opener type number threes rather than the sort of countering attacking. But just he was next on my list as well.
Yeah, he was next on mine also. As soon as you said I've watched his whole career, I knew who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I was really interested in that other
Ollie
player.
Ollie Pope.
No, not Ollie Pope, but there is that West Indian batter who will eventually come up in conversation, but I'm not the best person to talk on him anyway. So, Jared, do you want to pick him?
Interesting, because I think there's two West Indians that need to be picked here, and I'm not sure which one you're
I know which one Behram is talking about, and I think I know the two that you have in mind also, Jared.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Rohan Kanhai.
Yeah, that's the one
I thought that you had in mind, but that's not who you thought of, right, Behram?
I thought you might have meant George Hedley.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Actually thinking about Rohan Kanhai. I'm not looking at this list right, am I? Because I didn't even spot Hedley. But I don't know much about Rohan Kanhai, the batter. That is why I didn't pick him. Otherwise, this record is splendid, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, I've had this argument recently with Varun, who's like, Sober should have only bowled seam and batted at number three. And I'm like, okay, but he played with Rohan Kanhai, who plays, where is it? 57 matches and averages 53 with almost 5,000 runs at number three. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, they had an embarrassment of riches in their batting order. The bowling was the issue, really, which is why Sobers bowls so much, because Sobers was legitimately sometimes their second best seamer, generally their second best spinner. But in batting, it was the opposite. So they could just be like, push him down the order. And Rohan Kanhai is just a fantastic player, very organized, knew exactly what he was doing with his game, very calm. Ball hit the middle of the bat. And I think probably one of the more underestimated players in the history of the game. Allowed, again, he played in that sort of more backup opener style number three, but allowed for then because their real strength was 4, 5, 6, right? Where they have, you know, Walcott and Weeks and Sobers and Worrell. Like, they just had a murderer's row. And Rowan Kanai being great at number three meant that by the time the other guys came in, you already probably had lost the game.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is ridiculous. 90 innings and 4,689 runs and that batting average of 52.68. So, I mean, we all know of the name Rohan Kanhai, and I know that he was a technician. That much I know. And I also know that Sunil Gavaskar loved him so much that he named his kid after him. But that's kind of where it stops. I remember my grandfather, Jared, my maternal grandfather, rest in peace. He used to tell me a story that, you know, he loved cricket, but the entire family didn't know much about it. So he took them to watch Pakistan versus the West Indies, and everyone was just awestruck by Rohan Kanhai's batting. So, you know, that's a tale for everyone. But yeah, it's a name everyone probably knows of, but maybe not everyone knows about Rohan Kanhai, the cricketer, as much.
Yeah, I think he, you know, because of the era he was in, it's like, once you, if you even look past Sobers, the three W's take up the rest of the space, right?
Yeah.
He's not the only one. They also had Conrad Hunt, the opening bat, who's also another great player who no one ever talks about. Like, there was just, their batting was just ridiculous in that era. It's just a shame that they had Wes Hall and basically Lance Gibbs and almost no other bowlers.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have the bowling lineup to capitalize on probably one of the greatest batting lineups in the history of the game.
They had Roy Gilchrist for a bit, no?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, now, Saurabh, we are actually back to you for back-to-back picks.
So these are the last two picks, right? So just does George Headley qualify?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he does.
Okay, then I'll pick George Headley. Because, I mean, of course, I've never seen him bat, but he's played only 22 tests. 19 of those were at number three. Mm. And, you know, his average must be, what, 60 plus, I'm sure.
It's 71.17 at number three.
Yeah. So, and everyone, you know, famously knows him as the Black Bradman. He obviously had a very short test career, but it was, you know, he scored 2,000 runs at number three, which is more than a lot of guys have scored who had a much longer careers than him at number three. So I think he should be there on this list. Therefore, George Headley.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the greatest batters of all time. It's just, with all this with him, he plays so few test matches. Yeah. It's just where you bring that in. But he's probably the template for sort of Lara and Viv, in that sort of guy who's just like, I come in and now it's my game until you get me out.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Yeah, he's also a bit of an evil genius. I don't know if you know this, Saurabh, but he would smash the ball right back at spinners trying to injure them. And he would purposely hit the ball, you know, for singles and doubles to fielders who were also fast bowlers just to tire them out.
Yeah, who were in the middle of a spell, so to tire them out.
Yeah, so it is incredible. You know, he plays in that sort of post-war era and never really could kind of find that same kind of form back post-war. And yeah, I mean,
To be fair, he only plays post-war really because of who he is. He shouldn't be in the side, but also he knew he was going to get some captaincy at that point. So, yeah, it actually tanks his average a little bit at the end. For someone who didn't play many test matches, he even comes down a little bit. But, yeah, he should, you know, a lot of the other guys obviously were fine after the war, but he was done.
Yeah. Also, I'd be keen to know how George Headley fared outside of batting at number three, because in those 19 test matches and 32 innings at three, because that's almost his entire career, 2,064 runs and the batting average is 71.17. So he really must have sucked at other positions, I'm assuming.
I'll tell you
I would assume he came in when after the World War.
He batted at four twice, he averaged 30.5. He batted at five twice, he averaged 20.5. And the rest are all single digits. Number six, number seven. He's batted at number 11 once and been not out.
Okay.
Well, one of those is 1954, by the way.
Yeah.
When he must have been in his 40s.
Yeah. That's Number six. He batted at number six in 1954.
I can't remember if that was one of the captains one of the tests he captained as well. No, he didn't. I don't even know why he came back. Is it just a test in Jamaica? Yeah, it's a test in Jamaica. So obviously the Jamaican government has said, you have to play.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any other batter on this list who struggled that much outside of the number three role. I mean, Bradman is a case, but he only batted when it was a wet or sticky wicket, right? Anyway, that's a good pick, Saurabh. You have one more. Your last pick of this podcast.
This is like, a little confusing because I have seen like one of these contenders. I have seen his entire career again, just like, you know, we have seen with Hash and some of the Kane Williamson and these guys. Some of them I have not seen that much. I know their names. You know, we've heard about them. So I'm not sure exactly who to pick. But yeah, maybe I'll just go with who I've seen. So I'll pick Cheteshwar Pujara.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes, I know. But he batted in a, you know, the whole pace playing pandemic era.
And he dropped off in the pace playing pandemic.
That's towards the end. But he had, I mean, you know, there's, I think one of the underrated things about Pujara, especially in India's series wins in Australia, is the number of balls he faced. Which, you know, against an attack of Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon, you need to face that many balls because they're always going to come at you. Like, it's not like, you know, oh, you can see off this guy and cash in against another. You need to get them back for their third, fourth, fifth spell so that some drop-off is there. Because otherwise, there's no drop in quality. And I think that is an underrated part of both of Australia series wins. I mean, India series wins in Australia. Plus, he was really good. In India and in Asia, actually. India and Sri Lanka, he was really good. So, I think, yeah, it's just... I've not seen some of the other guys bat, so I don't know how they would compare.
Did you not see Boone?
No, I didn't. I'm not that old.
Yeah, I mean, despite all of that, Trott Fleming?
Trott Fleming? I would have Pujara ahead of Trott and Fleming. No?
I mean, Trott has a short career, I'll give you that. Mm. Fleming at number three is a pretty fantastic record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then I missed it.
Pretty solid record. Also, aren't you a big Jacques Callis guy?
Jacques Callis has not batted enough at number three.
He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be in a number three team. So he has not batted enough at number three. And I think Fleming, I forgot that he was a test batter. I think he's just CSK coach right now. It's been for 18 years. So,
I mean...
That's a slip up then, maybe. I missed Fleming's record. Yeah.
I don't mean to take anything away from Pujara. I actually really enjoyed his career. And he not only, you know, just hung around, he wore a lot of balls on his body as well. But there are better records, Saurabh. There is an Australian, an Englishman.
What's the quick picks without a rogue pick? There is an old Englishman who, I don't know if Jared will pick him next or not, who Jared has talked about before. Not Englishman, an Australian, an old Australian. Hmm. Bradman time.
Yeah.
But I have no idea about his career at all. Boone I thought of, but again, I have
I'm not sure that Pujara's had a better career than Boone.
It could well be. Boone might well have had, but yeah. I didn't.
But then again, I'm not sure there's much between them. Mm. I've got some other players ranked ahead of them, but I just thought it was interesting. But if you didn't see Boone, then obviously.
Yeah.
And also you would have seen old Boone, which wasn't quite as dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so he's done. I am going to go. I think this person is important in the history of number threes. And specifically is one of the reasons that their career is not remembered as much is they basically retired when their prime hit. Then they went on to play in Kerry Packer World Series. And so we didn't actually see the most of Ian Chappell. And I think if you look at Ian Chappell's overall batting average, you're just like, why are people talking about this guy's a great? Hmm. But as a number three, in 54 games, he averaged 50.
51 almost. Made 13. 50.94.
Yeah, 50.94. He was a fantastic. And if you talk to people of that generation, it's really, really rare that they don't bring up Ian Chappell as one of the great bats. So I think that... I think he goes off to play for North Melbourne Cricket Club, which is where I played briefly as well, like when he was 30, like for money because he wasn't getting paid, right? Like it's a ridiculous situation for a player that good. And he, I think of all the cricketers, I'm just trying to look on this list, probably Ponting, Viv Richards, and I would say Ian Chappell have the most number three mentality of, they were very clear what number three was. I am going to change the game after you get rid of one of the openers. The game is going to be forever have to rebound off what I do in this innings right here. And I think that is what number three position is at its absolute best, right? It's not just about counterattacking because you don't have to play it that way, but it's about having an impact in the way that you bat so that the opposition are like literally playing around you at a certain point. And I think that if you talk to anyone of that era, they all say that for Ian Chappell.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I actually thought you might have gone Neil Harvey.
Yeah, I actually think Neil Harvey is probably less of an... I think of Neil Harvey maybe a little bit more the way that I think of Yunus Khan, which is... I mean, he actually plays at number three quite a lot, but I think of Neil Harvey as maybe more of a player who came in down the order. I think Neil Harvey is a better cricketer, a better bat than Ian Chappell, but I don't know if he's a more quintessential number three than Ian Chappell, if that makes sense.
Just to hark Pujara pick, at least Pujara is a quintessential number three.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, Pujara obviously drops off after that ridiculous start to his career. He was averaging 50 plus for the longest time. In the end, he's scored 6,529 runs as a number three bat. That's pretty impressive in 155 innings. And a batting average of 44.41 is kind of where he lost me. Plus, I did a lot of, research. And I remember writing something, in fact, when Pujara retires, or maybe helping these guys out with some piece. And in the pace playing pandemic, it does kind of really start to get bad for Chiteshwar. So that's those were my reservations. But Chappelli was next on my list as well. And the world often remembers Greg Chappell. It's incredible how in 91 innings, Ian Chappell has scored 4,279 runs at a batting average of nearly 51. It really is fantastic. Okay, so last pick of the podcast, and it's with me. And it's going to be a golden oldie. And then maybe I'll just give it to Jared and he can explain the pick. So earlier I said that the second best batting average in the list that we have in front of us was Wally Hammonds. I was wrong. It isn't Wally. It is another Englishman, and that guy is Ken Barrington. So 27 test matches and 40 innings at number three. He scored 2,626 runs at an average or batting average of 77.23 in this position. 1,300, 750s. And I checked his overall career. Around one third of his test matches, come at number three, but more than one third of his runs in test cricket come in number three. So clearly he was better at this role. Jared, did he start off as a three? Did he end as a three? What happened here?
Yeah, no, he's a number three traditionally. And then he got caught up in that thing I was talking about with England batters before. Who did I mention? So who did I had? I had Hammond. You got Edrich, you got Dexter, you got David Gower. It was happening as late as David Gower, where they just have this random batting order. And again, I would argue that Barrington probably should have batted at number three. We have him at about 17, 18 in the art of batting.
Oh, he's that high. Okay.
Yeah, I think if I redo the list, he'll go down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think his average holds up as much when you cut through it.
Yeah.
But having said that, he was an incredible player and, he averages something like 67 in drawn test matches. It's like he wasn't going anywhere, right? And as a number three, I think that's probably what suited him the most. I'm just having a look now. Yeah, averages 77 at three, 59 at four, and 41 at five. Why are you batting him at five?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why is he coming in there? He just... In modern cricket, that just wouldn't happen, right? Like we would just instantly be like, no, okay, we've made a mistake here. We need to change that. And so, look, he's a very confounding figure. I had him, what did I say it was, about 18, 19, 17, wherever it was in the list. And I expected to be told by a lot of people, you've got him way too low. Actually, people are like, you've got him way too high. Like, it's like, there's no proper number for Barrington. Like, he's so confusing. But there's no doubt he was a great bat. There are issues with his record and the teams he made runs against. Not his fault, but he, you know, that's just how it broke down a little bit, like someone like Williamson. Also, I think he averages something like 10 more runs in test cricket than he does in first class cricket.
Ooh.
Which is, I mean, he still plays 82 test matches. So you've got to respect the amount of test matches that he played. Sorry, it's 13 more runs.
Oh, wow.
And that's including his test record. So he probably averages low 40s in first class cricket and almost 60 in test cricket, which is one of the biggest, you know, differentials you'll ever find. But yeah, again, he's just for me someone who I maybe don't think of automatically as a number three, just not through his own fault. But yeah, there's no reason why he can't be on this list. It's a bit ridiculous to not have someone who made 2,600 runs at 77 not be on this list.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. When he picked, Pujara, I was like, oh, damn, now it's Cipelli and Barrington. And then one of those two, Idrich and Dexter, would miss out. And they do miss out.
I mean, yeah, but as I said before, part of the reason they miss out is because of this stupid policy that England had. Like, they don't really stick with anything from this. What I know of Barrington is, I think outside of Bradman, I think he has the highest median score of all time. He was just absolutely brilliant at getting starts. And there's something I found before, which is quite funny here. So he never made a duck at number three, right? And, you know, as we said, what was it? 40 innings, so no ducks. Azhar Ali, by the way, made 15 ducks at number three, right? And what you're looking at there is someone who wasn't a batter when he was young, doesn't really know how to start his innings and move forward, compared to a guy who could just walk out and he's 40 not out before you've really worked out what's happening. And then, you know, he goes on to get the hundreds or he doesn't go on to get the 100. That was Ken Barrington.
Okay, well, that's a wrap. We're done with all of our picks. Any honorable mentions, guys? I already mentioned Dexter and Idrich.
Richie Richardson?
Richie Richardson is huge for me, yeah. I was annoyed that we couldn't fit him in. We talked about Callis. Gower is another one.
Gower.
Who I think absolutely deserves it.
Even
Manus still has a ridiculous record at three, by the way, guys.
Yeah. I was checking that, but I was like, I can't pick Manus in this list, so I ignored him.
We talked about Stephen Fleming. We talked about Harvey and Trott and Boone, and I think that's pretty much everyone.
There's Mohinder Amarnath.
Yeah, Amarnath has a very impressive record.
Sorry, there's one more as well. Clem Hill.
Of course.
I wanted to go Ian Chapman over Clem Hill, but Clem Hill, averaging 41 in his era, is probably closer to 50 in any other era. But Abhishek Mukherjee loves Clem Hill, so anytime I can not pick Clem Hill to annoy him, it's better for me.
Also, I thought of David Gower as a quintessential number three, but it doesn't feel like he played a lot over there.
Well, if England believed in number threes, right, and they're the country that... You can tell from this list, they just don't, right? Like, is it, I think, I looked this up once. Outside of Hammond, is it Butcher who has the second most runs for them at number three?
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
It's ridiculous. Like, until Butch comes along, they just don't. No, sorry, Trott went past him. So, yeah, Trott has, where are we? 3,100. Dexter has 2,800. And Butcher has 2,800. Like, they just don't believe in keeping anyone there for long enough to find out if they're any good. And so, yeah, that was another one for me. But yeah, there's a lot of England players who miss out just because of that randomness.
Anyway, let's go over the individual picks, Jared.
Saurabh went Don Bradman, Rahul Dravid, Kane Williamson, George Hedley, Chiteshwar Pujara. It's a solid list. Outside of Hedley, I don't know if I'm rushing to the TV for Saurabh's picks.
You're not rushing for Bradman.
I mean, I'm not sure if I'm rushing for Bradman. I'm just saying, my list starts with Viv Richards. I'm probably rushing to the TV for Viv Richards. Kumar Sangakkara, Wally Hammond, Rowan Kanai, and Ian Chappell. Bayram is Brian Lara, Ricky Ponting. Again, we're rushing for the TV here. Yunus Khan, Hashim Amla, and Ken Barrington. We're turning the TV off when Ken Barrington bats.
Yep. I think I made that one error where I didn't pick Sangha, and I've done that twice now, so I should probably go and have a conversation with myself in the mirror. But... I think we did pretty good otherwise. Varun will be very happy that Jacques Callis didn't make the list. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I kind of feel, as I said before, I mean, we've got Yunus here. We've got Lara here. I think you can make the argument that they did similar things, but there's something about Kallus specifically where it felt like he started the revolution. Hmm. And maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Sachin, but it feels like Kallus is the guy that's sort of like, why this? I could be, this could be easier for me if I went down the order. Hmm. And it has, not, this is not Kallus's fault, but it has actually changed the way we think about number threes forever, ever since that. Hmm. And, you know, that's just where we are now. I mean, you know, we look at this list, it's actually, there's a reason why there's a lot of older players on this list. And yeah, it's because number threes are not as important now.
True. And let us know in the comment section who you think won this round of Crick Picks. And also let us know if we missed some names, what you would have done differently, XYZ, etc., etc. But that's a wrap for this episode of the Crick Picks podcast. Do follow Combox everywhere. Like, share, and subscribe. And we will be back on another one of these shows soon enough. Till then, you guys have a good one. Enjoy yourselves. And goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minbo.pro now.